Also, talking about service, I don't know who cuts the grass, and I guess that's a good problem. I don't know who cuts it, but if you cut the grass, could you tell me? Because other people want to help cut, and I don't know who cuts it. I know I'm the pastor. That's what I told the guys. I know I'm the pastor. He said, well, don't you know who cuts the grass? I said, no. And but anyway, whoever cuts the grass, if you'll come, let me know it's you cutting the grass. Other people want to help you. And especially if we build this little park over here, there'll be more grass to cut. I want to get you more help. I know you're wanting to do this and nobody ever know it, and they don't know it. Except for it looks good. But let me know who you're cutting the grass. And I'm going to say one more thing. And I'll get off this kick, but I just hate what's going on. It angers me that a kids living next to me are hungry. And I know you're sitting there thinking, well, their parents need to go to work. They need to do this and they need to do that. Well, a 10-year-old can't help that. You know, they're hungry. So if that's going through your mind, just get that out. You know, and it just angers me to know that they're right here hungry. And we ought to be doing something about it. All right, take out your message notes. And guys, if we don't, I said I wasn't going to say nothing else about it. If we don't do something about it, it could go undone. Now, are you willing to lay down with that and sleep? It could go undone. Doing business with God. We're in, I guess, part 6 of this series. And if you missed last week, we're talking about making wise decisions at work, whether it's your job, career, or even your school, your marriage, and major decisions. But we're focusing mostly at work because we spend 40% of our lives, 40% of our lives at work. Some spend more, some spend less. But on the average, 40% of our lives. So we need to talk about every day. We need to talk about it and see what God's Word says about it. Last week, you can get those CDs. They're out there. They're free. We said the first, there were 8 principles that Solomon taught us from the book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. He was the greatest businessman that ever lived. But the first principle that he said to do was to check the Bible. I told you guys to stop listening for a voice in the sky and look for a verse. Look for a verse. God still speaks. Then I said, after you have this verse, get the facts. Get all the information that you need. You know, I told you, you don't just simply need to start a restaurant because you like to cook. That's based on a feeling. Get information. Get the facts. Then I said, ask for advice. Ask for advice. You know, talk to people. Get out and know your market, so to speak. Then to get anything going, you got to set a goal. All right, here's when we're going to go. Set a time. Here's the date. A dream comes reality when you set a time. A kickoff day. Now, 5th reason, if you got a major decision to make, and I know some of you do, is this: count the cost. Count the cost. This helped me in my decision to turn down a job last week. I told you I turned down a job. Is that? But you figure out in advance what the decision will cost. This is the kind of the evaluation step. You're going to need a budget. Because every decision has a price tag. Every decision has a price tag. You know, ask yourself, what's it going to cost? And I'm talking about not just in money, but in 4 areas of your life. Ask yourself what it's going to cost you in time. Write these down so you'll remember. Number one, time. Ask yourself what it's going to cost you in money. Ask yourself what it's going to cost you in energy. Then ask yourself what it's going to cost you in relationships. You need to know what the cost is. You got to count the cost. Proverbs 20:25 says, it is foolish and rash to make a promise to the Lord before counting the cost. Guys, I've heard it all my life. It's a trap to decide without deliberating. It's a trap. It's foolish to promise without pondering. Do not make a decision without counting the cost. Take the time to make the right decision. Some people just cringe when I tell them this. Because of what I've learned from God, I will not be pressured into making a decision right there. My response is, I'll get back with you. Now, that may be frustrating for you, but it's the right decision. It is the right decision. It's okay to tell someone that I'll get back with you. There's a law that Solomon talks about in Ecclesiastes. Says it's always easier to get in than to get out. Wouldn't you agree with me? It's easy to get into debt, harder to get out of debt. It's real easy to get into a relationship. Is it easy to get out of one? No. Take time to think about it. It's easier to fill your schedule than to fulfill your schedule. It's always easier to get in than to get out. Now, Jesus also talked about this, about counting the cost in the book of Luke. I know we're talking about Solomon a lot, but he said this, for 14 verse 28 says, for which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him. This is from the Bible. You need to count the cost. Is the cause worth the cost? So here's the question I want you to ask yourself. So I want you to write in there. The question you need to ask is it worth it? Is it worth it? Before I began North Point, I had to consider, was it worth my time? Was it worth my money? Was it worth the energy? Was it worth my relationships? Was it worth the time that I'd be spending away from my wife and family? The job I turned down last week, I sat down with a yellow notepad. I always write on these yellow notepads, and I wrote down those four areas. What would it cost me? What would it cost me? And what I came down to was I had a full plate. And I said, Jim, are you willing to take something off this plate, to give up something here in order to place this on it? And I wrote down, I'm not willing to give anything up at this moment. So I did not take, I said no. Being a volunteer church here at North Point requires every one of us to make a sacrifice, not just me. Not just me. It's astounding if you really knew what it takes and how many people it takes to get all this pulled off. And I'm not talking about just Sunday morning. I've always considered North Point a hot dog stand. And what I mean by that is, I said, guys, when we build that building up there, when we were in the high school, I said, we're kind of like a hot dog stand. I said, if you were in the hot dog stand business, you would fail if you only sold hot dogs once a week. We need to use that building like a hot dog stand, and we need to sell some hot dogs 7 days a week. It needs to be used. And we're getting close to 7 days. There's hardly a time you come up here when something ain't going on. There's always something going on. And we got to keep doing it. And that requires so many volunteers. Is it worth it? It sure is. knowing that people are going to spend an eternity in heaven, it is worth every bit of time. And is it worth it Monday nights and other? It sure is. To know that people are getting freed from shackles of sin and addiction and hurt, and they're being healed, it's worth every moment we spend. It is worth. I'm telling you, freedom is worth it. Freedom is worth it. The sixth thing you need to do this in making a big decision is number six, is plan for problems. Plan for problems. This is kind of the preparation phase. Now, you may not want problems, but they sure want you. And you got to plan for problems in any major decision. Y'all know what Murphy's Law is. If it can go wrong, it will. It will. So you can't ignore problems, because they're not going to ignore you. You got to prepare. Even in a small hobby like I've got, I mow a few lawns, and I love this. I love being outside, and I love singing, by myself, and I just have a big time out there cutting grass, and it's immediate gratification because I can turn around and see what I've done, and so I have fun doing it. But even in this small little hobby business, whatever you want to call it of mine, I have to prepare for problems. What I mean by that is I set aside a certain percentage of what I make for belts being broken, for lawnmowers maybe have to be replaced. I'm setting aside, I want one in big man size lawnmower. The kind with bat wings. Let down, here I'll be cutting yards and subdivisions with like a 10-foot cut. I'll probably have to wear a suit to get it on. But my point is, we plan for problems. I hope for the best. I hope my lawnmower never tires up. I hope for the best. I do that while I'm preparing for the worst. Hope for the best and prepare for the worst. Because there are going to be storms in the life. We're gonna have storms. There's a saying that I tried to remember, and I hope I got it right, that all sunshine and no rain makes for a desert. All sunshine and no rain makes for a desert. I think it was Donna Fargo or somebody that sang that song that I never promised you, a rose garden. There's gotta be a little rain sometime. Sounded good. I sounded better than Donna then. Anyway, somebody said, who's Donna Fargo? She sang with Foreigner. And some of you are saying, who's Foreigner? Anyway. Jesus said, when you have trouble, not if you have trouble. So it's going to rain. It is going to rain. Prepare for the worst. Now, when I say plan for problems, I want to tell you what it don't mean. When I say plan for problems, it doesn't mean solve them in advance. You can't solve tomorrow's problems today. You got to solve them when you face them. Now, you can prepare for them today, but solve them when you get there. God will give you the energy when you get there to face them. I don't want you to ever confuse decision-making phase with the problem-solving phase. If you had to solve all the problems before making a decision, then you're never going to make a decision. You will never make one. There's just some problems that you can't solve until you get there. In 1963, I forget which college he spoke at, but John F. Kennedy said, in the next decade, we're going to the moon. Now, at this time, NASA didn't have the technology to get us to the moon. Did you know that you have more technology in your phone than NASA had in 1963? But he made a statement. He made a decision. We're going to the moon. And I'm sure there were lots of problems ahead. But he made a decision to begin it. what I learned from that was leaders make the decision, then they solve the problems. Leaders make the decision, then they solve the problems. You make the decision because it's the right thing to do, not because you can solve all the problems. Then when you get to the problem, you solve the problems in the solving phase part of it. Plan for the problems, not the solutions. I guess what I'm saying, think about this. When you made the decision to become a parent, you didn't solve all the problems that came with to become a problem, to become a parent. I'm telling you, because if you knew all the problems that a kid was going to have, you wouldn't have no kids. No way you'd have kids. You know? But I'm glad God just unrolls the scrolls a little bit at a time. Just a little bit at a time. Because if we could have seen the problems that teenage years brought, oh my gosh. And even in everything, not just parenting. If we could see the problems that anything, we may not ever make a decision about anything. We got to face them as they come. You know, plan for the problems. Solve them as you face them. Proverbs 22:3 says, a sensible man watches for problems ahead and prepares to meet them. The simpleton never looks and suffers the consequences. Look ahead. Look ahead. In this step, you ask two questions. Write these two questions down. What could go wrong? What could go wrong when we're planning for problems? And then we say, what will happen if it does? What will happen if it does? Step number 7 in biblical decision-making, face my fears. Face my fears. This is kind of the confrontation stage. We to confront our own inner fears if we're going to make a major decision. Did you know what the root of all indecisions is? Fear. It's fear. And we all have different kinds of fear. Some of us are afraid we're going to make mistakes and embarrass yourself. That was one of my fears. You know, I want to tell you, you will. You will make mistakes and you will embarrass yourself, but it will not kill you. Some of you guys are afraid that you won't complete what you started. Some of you guys don't think that you're good enough. And all of these fears just begin to pour into you because you've never done anything like this. So you got to face your fears. God came to Moses. You know what Moses said? I'm not a good speaker. Then he went to Gideon. I think his excuse was, I'm too young. Then he went to Abraham. You know what his excuse was? I'm too old. It's fear. You know what Solomon wrote in the book of Ecclesiastes? That if we wait for the perfect conditions, we'll never get anything done. If we wait till everything's just right, it'll never happen. One of the biggest fears that keeps us from making decisions is this, the fear of disapproval. The fear of disapproval. Proverbs 29:25 says this, fear of man is a dangerous trap, but to trust in God means safety. I'm telling you, the moment you start to fear what other people think, party's over. The moment you start to fear disapproval, you're dead in the water. You're dead in the water. The fear of disapproval is worse than the disapproval. The fear of, because fear immobilizes you. Here's what you got to ask when if you got a major decision. Write this down. What am I afraid of? What am I afraid of? Identify that fear. Face it. Confront it. Head on. The only way to defeat a fear is to face it and move against it in faith. Guys, moving is the antidote. Many of you guys know I have a fear of public speaking. And the only way that I defeat it is face it every Sunday morning. Every Sunday morning. You got to move. You know, you can't let fear stop you. A lot of people think if you ignore it, that it'll go away. Fear won't go away. A lot of people think you can talk yourselves out of it. Well, that won't work either. Because all that comes up, you get a few more excuses. Too old, too young, you know, whatever. The only way we can get rid of fear is to move against it, to face it, confront it. So I want to encourage you today as your pastor. Somebody that loves you is this. Do the thing you fear the most. Do the thing you fear the most. That came to your mind. I know it did. Whatever you fear the most of, do the thing you fear the most. And you know what you'll find out when you do the thing you fear the most? That the boogeyman ain't as bad as you thought he was. You're going to find out when you open that closet that the boogeyman ain't even behind the closet door. That there was probably nothing to be afraid of the whole time. The last step, we're going to get you out of here. Step out in faith. Step out in faith. This is the initiative. You know, because I'm going to tell you, some people like me who plan, I know some of you guys don't think I'm a planner, but I am. Some of you guys are like me that say, tell them, Jim, we're planners. We count the cost. We're, you know, if you want to answer now, it's no. And those are all good answers. I say that stuff. I believe in that stuff. You know, I believe in I'll get back with you. But at some point, you got to pull the trigger. At some point, you got to do something. You can't just keep thinking about it. You got to step out in faith. Romans 8, you know my favorite verse, says God is for you, who can be against you? Got to step out in faith. We got to stop sitting on a decision making process. You got to start doing it. And you got to trust him and start moving. You got to do the thing that you fear the worst. I want to tell you, I want to make a big confession. You know, I'm a big believer in leadership, and one of my mentors has always told me, says, Jim, I know you're afraid. Don't let them see you shake. Don't let your people see you shake. Well, I got a confession to make. In 16 years as your pastor, in every major decision that we made, I was scared. Not just scared, I was scared that when you got to change your underwear, scared. I was scared. But I did it anyway. Do you know why? Because I happen to believe that you should build your life on the promises of God and not your personal fears. I believe that. That you should build your life on His promises and not your personal fears. True question this week. Well, that makes, they're all true when I tell you that. But it sounds like, I said, the other's been telling you a lie. Guy was going through some problems. He said, Jim, what should I do if I don't have that faith? If I don't have that faith. And here was my answer. Act like you do. Act like you have the faith. And guess what? Faith will follow. If you're scared, if you're too scared to have faith, act like you got it. Faith will follow. Always. Guys, you've heard it a million times. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is moving ahead in spite of your fear. And let me tell you something. You're not courageous unless you're afraid at the same time. If you're not afraid, then you're not courageous. Because if you're not afraid, you don't need courage. Courage comes when you're scared to death. But you have to believe that this is what God wants you to do. And you're going to do it even if you're scared to death. Proverbs 3 says, trust the Lord with all your heart and don't depend on your own understanding. Remember the Lord in all you do and He will give you success. God supports those who move in faith. Here's the question that you need to ask right here. Write this down. Where do I need to trust God? Where do I need to trust God? Because you haven't really trusted God until you attempt to do something that you can't do on your own power. Not really. But you know, sometimes you just feel weak. Physically, emotionally, spiritually drained. Last week, that's the way I felt. Some of you guys even called and checked on me. I thought I was faking it enough. I was emotionally drained. I was physically drained. I was tired. It'd been one of those weeks. But to be honest with you, I can't tell you how many sermons that I've taught and I felt this way. Just wore out. I've been pushed. Last week I'd been pushed and pulled from every direction. You know what I mean by that? When people would see me, they'd call me and say, Jim, I know you're busy, but I need about 5 minutes of your time. I know you got a lot going on, Jim, but can you meet me up here? And don't stop doing that. I just got to learn to say no better. But I was drained, spiritually drained. I did not want to be here last Sunday. I did not want to teach. I had the privilege of leading 3 people to Christ. I baptized 4. I led another man to Christ this Thursday night in my office. All, and I'm not trying to lift myself up, all when I was tired. All when I didn't want to be here. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful that I made a decision to do it anyway, even when I didn't feel like doing it. Sometimes you don't feel like doing it. It takes courage to do it anyway. Sometimes you need rest. And I got to tell you, I got more energy now than I ever have. I feel more relevant now at this church than I ever have. Don't base your service on your feelings. Feelings lie. They lie. God supports you when you move in faith. I don't know what decision that you're having to make this weekend, but I want to dare you to do something significant in your life. Your decisions determine your destiny. Your choices determine your character. I want to tell you that you become what you're committed to. And I'll see you next week. Let's pray. My Lord, I thank you so much that you're still using us. Lord, I look forward to the folks that are being raised up here to serve, to the impact that you're going to make through the others here. I look forward to the decisions that's going to be made in the workplace, in the careers, and the businesses, if they follow your 8 steps. I can't wait to see the success and the lives changed. Lord, I hope I taught it well. I hope you're pleased with what we do here. It's in your name we pray.